time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers' show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Unfortunately, not Charlie Evers today. We miss him. He's still out recovering from an energy issue, but Scott Spears and Jeff Ruth in here today, filling in for Charlie Evers. And by the way, you can still catch Jeff Ruth on the radio Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 7.05 a.m., 3.05 p.m. Now remember, these are 10 to 15 minute interviews, so don't miss them. You have to start listening at 7.05 or 3.05 on WZMO 104.7 FM, just one notch down. Is it weird to hear somebody say that?
No, it's just, I think maybe once or twice I heard like the 3.05 interview, but I don't know.
No, 7.05 might not really be there. We really don't know at this point. We think.
He says it goes at 7.05, so I'll trust him that it runs at 7.05 in the morning.
And it's a public affairs show, basically.
Yeah.
Interview people from different walks of life. Does it have a name?
Oh, a roundabout Marion.
A roundabout Marion.
Yeah.
All right, a roundabout Marion. 7.05 and 3.05, 7.05 a.m., 3.05 p.m. But again, it's a music station primarily, so these are 10 to 15 minute interviews, so you'll want to listen right then when they're on.
And if you hear the 7.05, it's the same at 3.05, so it's not two different interviews, it's the same one.
You know, on the air, where did that come from? That really makes no sense when you say it.
Unless it was from, like, most studios would have an air light, on air light.
You think that was it?
Maybe that was it. I don't know.
That's weird, because I was thinking, you know, I don't know why that popped in my head there, but we all say it, we're on the air,
mm-hmm.
But you're not, I don't know. The terminology we use, I was thinking the other day, why don't we have B batteries?
You got too much time on your hands.
I don't know. Those are just things. It's weird, isn't it? We have A, double A, triple A, C, no B batteries. Why do we skip B?
It sounds like a Jay Leno bit or something like that. Yeah,
it goes into somebody.
I don't know.
I would hate to be somebody coming in from another country and try to learn our language.
Oh. And I watch Jeopardy in the evenings, and a lot of times they'll have, you know, like two words. You know, there's one letter that's different or whatever, and the words sound just so totally different. You know, we're going over there. You know, there's a dog over there. I mean, it's got to be so tough yet to learn the English language.
We're going to go to the phones here. Go ahead, call us.
Oh, good morning, boys.
Good morning.
I knew when I heard that B answer, I looked it up quickly just to be sure I was right.
Oh, good. Well, why don't we have B batteries?
There are B batteries. I knew that there were. They're not commonly used, but I know I'd seen the size before. It's kind of a specialty, probably for appliances and electronics that really aren't used anymore. As nowadays, a lot of things like a key fob for a car uses those button batteries, which are also known as hearing aid batteries, and they're used in garage door openers and other remote control items. But you can get the B batteries, but you know they're expensive because they're rare and not really commonly used. Kind of reminds me. But they're a nice protocol because they are a good size. A lot of these batteries are just huge, like these lantern, you know, these lantern batteries and 9-volt batteries with those two hooks on them. But it kind of reminds me of starting with, you'll remember this, Glenn, certainly, maybe you, Scott, starts with the letter B, is the Betamax format, which was considered much better than VCR because the tapes were smaller. You know, mm-hmm. VCR tapes are big and clumsy. You remember that, Glenn. Maybe you, Scott.
Sure.
And the problem with Betamax is they are Sony. Sony tends to price fix their items. They were more expensive. And interestingly and ironically, the larger VCR format, or VHS, those overtook them. Of course, now they've been overtaken by DVDs and by streaming and flash drives. Even though something seems logical, sometimes it just doesn't. There's marketing, there's pricing, the ability to compete and provide better pricing. So yeah, there is it just isn't common. And you know, nowadays we have double A's and triple A. I think there's even a quadruple A. And again, these button type batteries. Like I remember, I have to replace the button battery in my car's key fob. So those are often used in computers. So I have a hoard of them in my basement. So it's not a big deal. And they're cheap. And you can even get them at the dollar store. So those kind of batteries are convenient. But yeah, the whole battery business is very interesting. Leave it to electronic geeky person like myself to provide the perspective.
See, when you have a question, all you do is just put it out there, and somebody will know the
somebody
answer.
Will know.
You ever have a Betamax, Glenn?
No, I didn't.
No, hey, well, thanks for the answer. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Have a good day.
So, how you doing, Glenn? Anyway.
He's not used to hearing me.
Not used to hearing you. No, of course not. Well, hopefully this is the on-the-air answer. That's what we're hoping for now. Oh, man. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Hey.
The batteries were used in old tube-type portable radios.
Oh, okay.
Because it took a higher voltage, you know, for the tubes to run on.
So there were B batteries once upon a time.
Yeah, for what they called the B-plus supply in a tube-type radios, portable.
Okay.
That's very interesting. Well, hey, thank you.
And also, I think on the air means, you know, in standard AM radio, you receive your signal through the air.
Well, that makes
sense. That's the source of on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, what was it? Was it Charles Osgood who used to, I'll see you on the radio?
Yeah.
You know, it's the same type of thing, I guess.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. All terminology.
Right.
Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Sure, Scott.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you got the answers. Didn't even have to ask for
them.
And both the answers came. Now, it is interesting because do you miss that? Because you're doing a tape show now. Do you miss that type of thing? You had it on radio.
Yeah. I do miss that.
You know what I was just thinking? If you were on the air now doing your old show, it was primarily sports. What would you be doing right now? You have no scores or things? You'd be sitting there every morning.
I had 2 3-minute sportscasts every hour. Mm-hmm. And you're right. TV, you can watch replays of the, you know, 2002 Georgia Tech Virginia football game, which they're running. But those don't translate very well on the radio. There's just nothing there. And I don't... You know, even though maybe the Indians and the Cubs are on, I already know who won. So I don't watch a lot of those, you know, reruns, whether it's football or baseball or whatever.
Now, see, I'm a big Cubs fan, and I like baseball. And I will admit, since baseball is not being played, that I have watched some of the old Cubs games because I don't know who wins because they're from the 80s and 90s.
Okay, yeah.
And I can't remember. But I love it because it's... Harry Carey's doing the call with Steve Stone, and they were a great team. And you've got him up there at the seventh inning doing the take me out to the ball game, which I haven't seen for years. And you've got Ryne Sandberg and Andre Dawson and Mark Grace. So yeah, those are interesting to watch. And, you know, when you play as many games as baseball does every season, if you go back to the 90s, I don't remember who won. If I don't look up who won the game, I don't remember.
Hell.
So I think you can watch those.
Many, many years ago, I had applied and sent a request to the Cubs. My best friend lives just outside of Chicago and always wanted to go to a game at Wrigley Field. So this is back when you had to send something on company letterhead. So I mailed something to the Cubs, wanted to know if I could get a couple of tickets freebies, as we like to.
We're known the old freebies.
The old freebies for Brian and I to go to a Cubs game. And this is back before emails. I mean, Brian was probably, 12, 13, something like that. So I wrote back, yes, they'll be at Will Call. So it was a Friday afternoon game. And I remember going and picking the tickets up. And the tickets were for the press box. So we got to sit up in the press box. And as I said, Brian wasn't, he wasn't old enough to be in the press box, I don't think, but he was. And probably, back then, I don't think they probably got the request that, a lot of teams do now for credentials and so forth. So that was the first time we actually got to sit in the press box at a major league ball game, was at
Wrigley Field.
And that's back when they did the, take me out to the ball game in the seventh inning stretch and so forth.
Now, because he was such an icon in Chicago, and even here, because WGN has been on cable since the advent of cable.
Well, WGN, and then, of course, the Atlanta station.
TBS.
The TBS with Skip Carey.
Skip Carey. So could you see Harry where you were sitting?
Oh, yeah.
So was he drinking?
Couldn't see that, and they were like in an enclosed booth. I mean, the window opened up, but I mean, we couldn't have walked in and said, "Hi, Harry, how you doing?" I told the story about the time we had dinner at Harry Carey's restaurant. Did I tell you that story?
I don't think so. I've been there, but no, I haven't heard your story.
Okay, this was a different trip, but my wife and Brian and I and Scott. This was back when Harry was not doing the West Coast games.
Right.
Did all the home games. I think he did some of the, maybe like Cincinnati or St. Louis, something like that. But he wasn't doing all of the away games. And we had gone, it was a Sunday afternoon, we had gone to a White Sox game. So we said, let's go out for dinner. Let's go to Harry Carey's. And so we're walking, and you said you've been to the restaurant?
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
So we're walking and just about ready to go into the restaurant. And a cab pulls up, and out gets Harry Carey and a woman, I'm guessing it might have been his daughter, and there were two kids, maybe 8, 10, something like that. So the four of them get out of the cab just as we're getting ready to go in. And it's like, There's Harry Carey. And I'm not big into autographs. I mean, I've had plenty of opportunities to get autographs, but I'm just not really into that. But we had our camera there because we were in downtown Chicago. So I said, wonder if he'd mind. So I don't remember if it was Scott or myself that went up and said, would you mind terribly much. Not at all. Just so, he put his, in fact, I think I had the picture at my retirement party. So there's the picture with Harry Carey around the four of us. And just, very, very nice. So we walked into the restaurant and he had his own booth there at his, at the restaurant. So we're kind of in the back with everybody else. And we might have been in there for an hour and a half or so, and you could just tell the more drinks Harry had, the louder he got. And by the time we left, he was, I don't know on how many or whatever, but you could hear him throughout the restaurant having a good time. But again, that was Harry Carey.
Now, that is a great merchandising idea, though, because you have to think, Harry Carey, because of WGN, and I have to believe that's what a lot of it was so known all across the country, even though the Cubs stunk the entire time he was there, that can you imagine this guy who was, before internet, who's 10 feet tall celebrity, will come and eat in the restaurant, and you can be eating there as well, and he's right over there. Now, he gets a percentage of that because it's his restaurant, but hey, that's a smart businessman right there.
Sure.
You know?
Well, Michael Jordan, and I've never been to, and I haven't been to Chicago in a long time, but Michael Jordan, same kind of deal. I don't know how many times you'd find Michael eating in his restaurant, but people go to Chicago, they say, let's go to Michael Jordan's, restaurant.
We're going to take a one-minute timeout here. This is the Charlie Evers Show on WWGH Radio. Jeff Ruth is the guest today. Don't forget, Jeff can still be heard Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Wow. I like those plugs.
Isn't this fun? Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 7.05 a.m., 3.05 p.m., WZMO 104.7 FM. And we'll be back in exactly 1 minute with Jeff Ruth and more amazing stories from the past. Charlie, do you remember when Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood came to visit us?
Yes, I do. All three times. What a great time we had.
Yes, riding in the popcorn parade twice with him was great.
He made more speedy deliveries that day than the post office does all year.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Two, one. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Scott Spears Beck filling in for Charlie Evers today. Jeff Ruth is the guest. Now, Jeff, we were just talking about famous people. You've talked about Harry Carey. Who was the person you were most excited to meet or interview in your 40 years? Did you ever do this on your show? Create dead air like this?
Two of the best interviews I had, or the most enjoyable, were Smokey Robinson and Bob Newhart.
Both at the Palace. Yeah.
When guests would come to the Palace, Beth Ford or before her, Lane Merchant or whatever, a lot of times they'd give us a chance, and you had a chance to talk to some people I know that came to the Palace. So those two, because they were both so nice, I think maybe kind of stand out. I mean, I've never met a president or anything like that. But I'd say just from the fact that they were so nice and I did such a long interview with both of them, I'd say Bob Newhart or Smokey Robinson.
Now, the two that I interviewed at the Palace, both were nice as well, Vicki Lawrence and Roy Clark. And got to interview Roy on the bus. Now, there was a down-home guy. You would have never known this man had been what he had been. Such a nice man. Do you remember, because we were talking about Joe Nuxall in the break. I had the chance to interview Joe at his golf club down in Cincinnati. And he, of course, a longtime broadcaster for the Reds, since departed. And it's a classic Joe Nuxall story. I can't remember. You're the one who told me it originally. But you can't tell it. You can't tell. You know what I'm talking about.
Is it the Johnny Bench?
Yeah, you can't hit the punchline on the air. But tell, because I think that typifies Joe Nuxall. Clean that up for radio, and let's hear this.
Well, if it's one I think about, they would, Marty Brenneman or Joe Nuxall, a lot of times you'd tape your interview with the manager or the player or whatever. And Joe had made some comment about Johnny Bench, and I don't know if they got along or didn't get along or whatever, but did the interview. Well, part of the interview, the producer back at the station, when he was queuing up the clip, didn't cue up the right clip or whatever, and part of Joe's comments got out on the air that shouldn't have, and the next day he had to kind of apologize for it. Just one of those things that, one of those blooper moments that everybody always has some blooper moments if you're in broadcasting.
Now, what was yours?
I had the most memorable one was the where I called Lowell. Lowell Hamburger Shyster.
Oh yes,
and
we heard.
And I didn't. Oh. And I didn't mean it at all.
I still don't understand. I heard you because you told that when you were here one time, and essentially what you did. Give us a tin type because I have a question about that story because I heard it and a replay, and I have a question about this.
Okay, Bill Mercer was our news director, and I had just started working mornings, and I might have even just been filling in for a week for somebody. And it was the 6:30 news, and Bill had done, and I'm not a fisherman. And I know you have some people that call it that they're fishermen. But there was a, evidently, there is a lure called a shyster lure, which I didn't know about. And Bill had told a story about somebody in Lake Erie catching a record-breaking fish of some sort using a shyster lure. And that's the news. Now back to Jeff Ruth. And I said, speaking of shysters, this portion of the news has been brought to you by Lord's Jewelers, 140 West Center Street, downtown Marion. That was 35 years ago, and I still remember the address, and I didn't mean anything by it at all.
Here's my question. When I heard that, okay, did you not know the meaning of the word shyster?
Well, when he said that, I did, but I meant it to sort of like come back on me, like I was the
So you knew what you were saying.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
okay, you knew you were calling somebody a shyster.
Yeah, right.
But you thought you meant it self-deprecating.
Yeah, right.
Because I could, when you told that story, I didn't understand if you didn't know what shyster meant, because yeah. No, saying that does sound bad.
Yeah.
Speaking of shysters.
Yeah, and I had never met Lowell. Had no idea who he was, didn't know that he ran Lord's Jewelers, knew nothing of the sort. But boy, I sure got to know him that day.
Yeah, he found out about Shyster that day. You found out exactly what you did. Because that, you know, it's funny because when you're on the air, and I did this not too long, and mispronounced somebody's name who was sitting right here, who I know they're a friend of mine. But when you do this long enough, or you do this daily, I think your brain gets ahead of your mouth.
There were several times where I had booked a guest, and somebody either it was that guest or maybe somebody that was coming in, that person couldn't make it or whatever. And you know, I've seen them in the community. I've talked to them. I know who they are, but you just have that blank moment. And so I would go in, Paul's studio was right next to the AM studio, and then Randy in the newsroom. And I would go, and I'd tell, you know, I'd maybe go into Paul's studio, you know, he had maybe 2 minutes before he went on the air, and I'd say, Paul, I said, who is that person? And sometimes he could say, oh, that's, you know, John Smith or whatever. It's like, I don't know who that is. So I'd go back and get Randy, and I'd say, just, you know, kind of walk through the studio. So he'd start out where the office desk was, and would kind of walk through, and if he knew who he was, he'd just write down, you know, a piece of paper who the person was, and then I would introduce him, or it's like, I don't know. And that's embarrassing when you have to ask somebody that you're about to interview who you are when you've already maybe interviewed them or you know who they are, but you just have that moment where you just can't think of what that person's name is.
I've had that. You know, I'll give a trick away here that I use for this. So you'll know when I don't know somebody's name now, because I'll tell you how this happens with me. What I do is, because when you talk to them, their name never comes up before you go on the air.
Right.
So what I will do is in the introduction of the person, because usually you know why they're there. You might not know who they are, but you know why they're there. And I'll say, okay, blah, 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 blah. And, for people who haven't heard you before, why don't you let everybody know who you are?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll tell me their name.
Yeah.
So that's what I do when I can't remember people's names.
When Randy was on Morning Magazine, and if he had the same thing, it's like he'd kind of introduce, you know, why don't you introduce yourself or tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, not necessarily you, but being there 40 years, what was the most embarrassing thing you ever saw happen, period? And you don't even have to say who it was if they're still around. But did you ever see anything that was just bad?
We had a news person at one time who was, you know very well, wasn't here for a long time. He was here for a few years. But he got into a really nasty argument slash fight in the parking lot with either an ex-girlfriend or a current girlfriend. And I mean, this was screaming your lungs out, yelling at each other. Police had to be called out in the parking lot. It never escalated inside the building, but anybody that was there, you were looking out the window because this got nasty. It's embarrassing when you have somebody that's supposedly in the public eye and they have to call the police on you.
You know, I did know that person well. A big fan of mine, by the way. But honestly, because I'm going to ask you about something else here in a second. But it's mostly men, so you're not going to pick this person out. And he was there such a short time. What do you think because you had a few run-ins with him that didn't turn into escalating fights, but I know some things that he did. What was his thing?
I don't know. He was one of those, not manic depressive, but...
bipolar, I think.
But yeah, because
he could be okay.
Yeah. And there were some days where, hey, how are you? And other days you just stayed out of his way. But I was gone, I think I took a Friday off, and came back Monday morning, and I don't know if he liked all my emails or whatever, but I mean, my desk was literally, everything on the desk was gone.
Oh, do you know where it ended up?
Ended up in the trash, or the dumpster.
The dumpster.
Yeah.
He used to do that to you.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And the one time I found it, and I was out, it's like, because I knew... I knew you wouldn't have taken all that, and I had a lot of stuff, and a lot of the stuff I probably didn't need, but some of that stuff, probably phone numbers or, information, letters, and that sort of thing that I needed, and I figured, he probably didn't take all of that home with him, so whatever day the dumpster people came, so... I went out after he went home, and I'm out, and those things were probably, 7-8 foot high or whatever, and I crawled into the dumpster, and I looked, and there's cigarette butts, and there's all kinds of trash and stuff in there, but I eventually found what I was looking for.
The life of an icon. Around in the dumpster.
But he
did that too. He did not the whole desk, but I remember he would be in, because I think it was just our three desks were in that room.
Yeah.
Mine, his, and yours. And he would always grab your Tradio stuff, and he would go throw it in the dumpster. There was something...
Yeah, for no reason at all.
No reason.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was, but, he, in my mind, ranks up. And I'm even afraid to go in this direction, because I'm not talking about him anymore, but last time we did this, you said the guy's name, so we were trying not to say the guy's name.
Well, this is a different person.
Right,
yeah.
Totally different person.
Yeah.
But you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You said his name. But he also had to be... Here's the thing that's weird. I want you to tell a story about him and try not to say his name this time. People know who it is now, that person, not the third. But we can talk about the guy we just talked about, but we won't say his name. We can talk about the guy we're going to talk about in a second, and we try not to say his name. But when we talk about Joe Peters, we can call him bipolar all day long and mention his name. Now, what's the difference? Is it because Joe's gone?
Joe was here for so many years, and everybody, people knew Joe. The other two people weren't there that long, and probably most people wouldn't even recognize their names.
So we don't want to let them. We don't want the unknowns to have bipolar issues. One who was known, we just say, he was bipolar. No problem there at all. No, but the guy in the middle, he was. I don't know. The third one was pretty bad because he did things that would try to hamper your daily activities. The second one was just kind of nuts, don't you think?
Yeah.
Tell the high school story about the van. That's crazy. That is insane that happened.
for about a year, he would help me do high school basketball.
We're going to hit a break. I want you to tell us when we come back.
Okay.
We won't have to break the story up.
Okay.
Jeff Ruth is the guest. Funny story coming up here in 20 seconds, and you can hear, you got to tell anecdotes like this on your show. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 7.05 a.m., 3.05 p.m. on WZMO 104.7 FM. Remember, it's only a 10-minute show, so tune in to listen. You don't want to miss it. We're coming back in 1 minute. Don't go anywhere. Ted, I remember so well when you announced you were going to run for president on my show.
I do, too. But after a while, I decided to get out of the race.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't want to move to a bad neighborhood.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Charlie Evers Show here on WWGH Radio. Scott Spears filling in for Charlie. Jeff Ruth, the guest today. We're having a lot of fun recalling memories. Charlie would enjoy this, and he is listening, so I'm sure he knows who we're talking about. He knows where the bodies are buried.
If I had tuned in 5 minutes later, I wouldn't even be up here, because when I got up this morning about 9:30, you were talking about those pancakes. I said, well, I'm going to bring up some pancakes then.
And didn't we end up having a good time here today?
And we have, 15, yeah.
And okay. Now, Charlie knows this guy, and we're going to try. Last time we told this story, his name got mentioned in the story.
Didn't mention his last name, just the first name.
We didn't?
I don't think we mentioned his last name. We might have.
Okay. Anyway, he's a guy.
Okay.
And He was one of the three bipolars at WMRN over the 40.
Oh, there I can think of.
You think it's the more bipolars?
Yeah,
there? Yeah. But as far as crazy things that people did, I think he's number one. And here's the story.
All right, for football, I always have a color person. In basketball, I did for a few years. Dave Gorenflo. Did just a super job, and then the powers that be said, basketball, you know, one person can do it, which you can, but it's obviously, you know, you'd like to have two voices. So this person for a year or so kind of helped me out in some of the basketball games. So I normally always drove the WMRN van to the ball games, and we were doing a game at Harding at that time. It was at Grant Middle School. And for some reason, he said, I'll drive back to the station. So he's driving the van, and right there by Grant, there towards the library, he was going to make a left. And he kind of pulled out into the other lane, and the guy was making a left turn, and he rolled his window down. And all he said was, didn't leave me much room there, buddy. Which was fine, you know, okay. Well, he got upset. He rolled his window down. He gave a salute with a finger and just started screaming at this guy. And it's like,
you're in the van. It says WMRN on the side.
In the WMRN van.
Yeah.
And the driver is swearing up and down and giving this one finger salute to this poor guy who didn't really mean anything, you know, just made an observation. It's like, okay, you don't say anything. So it was like a day later, our receptionist got a phone call from a Nichols Bakery truck driver. It was on Marion Williamsport Road. Called to say that he'd just been cut off by somebody driving the WMRN van, and when he cut him off, kind of same thing, kind of yelled at the guy and flipped him the bird. So, you know, when you're representing a company, you don't do things like that. And especially because I was the one that normally drove the van. And I'm sure that one night after the Harding basketball game, he probably went home to his wife and family and said, "You won't believe what Jeff Ruth just did."
He seemed so nice on the air.
Yeah.
You cut him off in traffic.
Oh, yeah. And I'm thinking, you don't do those kind of things. And I remember it was a Friday. And this person was, he would take more than his share of days off. He seemed to have a stomach infection or would get a toothache or get a migraine more than the average person would do. So I remember it was a Friday, and he came in, and Ohio State was playing in the NCAA basketball tournament. They were playing up in Pontiac, Michigan at the Silver Dome. So this, you know, many, many years ago. They had a noon game. So this person came in. I'm doing very good about
you're
not mentioning his
well.
Name. Yeah. So this person came in about 8 o'clock and said, I'm not feeling real well. He said, can you fill in for me? I said, yeah, I'll do that. Well, his car had to go to the shop that day, needed some work. So he was going to take the WMRN van home with him that day. So we're guessing that he probably didn't go home with his toothache or whatever. He probably took the WMRN van up to Michigan to the Ohio State basketball game. Couldn't prove it, but we very seriously thought about taking the extra set of keys, driving up to the game, and if indeed the WMRN van was in the parking lot with the extra set of keys, then two of us would have gone up. One of the people would have driven the van, you know, back to the station. And then how do you explain that? But we couldn't prove for sure, and we didn't have enough evidence. Plus, we weren't going to take 5 or 6 hours to do that. But we had thought about, you know, driving up there, seeing if we could find the WMRN van and bringing it back. You're just not supposed to do those kind of things.
No, and it's interesting. That van brings back in my mind, I didn't take the van out very often when I did the charity ball or something like that, but more it was sports events and people who were doing remotes. And I remember I just started working at WMRN, and I had a friend who worked in Delaware who would drive Route 23, you know, every day. And I think it was a Friday night. It was one night of the week. And they're driving home, and they give me a call, and they say, I just saw the WMRN van in the ditch on Route 23. And I said, well, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's true. It was true, wasn't it?
It was.
Yes. What happened? It was you.
It was. It was Harding. It's a new Harding High School. And I had gotten into the van, and when I put it into drive, I mean, it just took off. And, you know, looking back, I probably could have tried to put it in neutral or something like that. But, I mean, this thing just took off. It went from, like, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. And I lost control of the van. And, yep, I ended up in the ditch.
How'd you get home that night?
I don't recall. I'm sure I called somebody. And this was after Joe Peters was no longer there. So I knew he wasn't going to yell at me. But went back then the next day or what. And it turned out it wasn't my fault. It was, you know, something in the system, and we got it taken care of. But that scared me for a couple seconds.
But just left the van there in the ditch.
Just left it in the ditch, yeah.
When you have a van with your call letters on the side, what can you do?
Yeah.
Everybody knows what it is and who it is. There's no hiding that.
Yeah.
So that's why that second person, it's shocking that he did those things, because you think at some point, even if you are bipolar, common sense would set in. And you would say, I probably shouldn't be doing these things. Now, for people who don't, because Joe Peters has kind of become, unfortunately, a bygone name in radio here, and we've kind of bipolared him up here today. What Joe was an engineer. He wasn't an on-air guy. He was an engineer.
Oh, he didn't like on-air people.
No, he didn't like... He called Madge fat, as Charlie would say, and you and he got into a scuttle when you shot... Didn't you break the roof of the van or something? Well, he might have been justified that time for being a little angry. But he had his moments, too.
Yeah, he would... Again, you could talk to him for 20 minutes sometimes, and he'd just talk to you about anything. And there were other times... We used to have to sign the... We had to take meter readings, what they were called. And now we just do it once a year. Or, I mean, once a day. But back then, you had to do it every 3 hours. And what it consisted of, you just basically picked up a telephone, you dialed a four-digit number, and then it showed you what, you know, FM is at 99.8% or something like that. And it had to be within like a 95 to 103 radio. And then you marked it down. And you had to do that every, I think at one time it might have been every 2 hours, and then it was like every 3 hours. And if he would walk in on you, say you went on the air at 6 in the morning, and he would come in at 8:05 in the morning, you hadn't taken a meter reading, he'd rake you over the coals. And there were other times, it's like, you know, I was busy, you know, haven't gotten a chance to, oh, don't worry about it, you know, do it whenever. You know, like, it was just, you know, that kind of a situation. But yeah, he didn't like women at all. Not only didn't he like on-air people, he didn't like women at all. Woman's place is at home making babies and making dinner, and when I get home at 5 o'clock, dinner better be on the table, and that was it.
But now, Charlie says, now he would have witnessed this more than anybody, but he said he thought the Joe and Madge thing was a rapport that they kind of had.
Yeah, and again, obviously that was long before I got there, so I don't really know.
But you saw him work with Mary Ann. Now, he didn't say... I can't imagine he saying things to Mary Ann like that.
No. I don't. Behind her back, I'm sure.
Probably. Yeah. Mary Ann had a little different pay grade at that time. You really weren't going to go around and say that kind of thing about her. I don't think people realize that she came directly from television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was on Channel 4, WCMH, which is still there. She was doing mornings, and she came right to the local radio station. When she came, I mean, was that a big punch in the arm at the time?
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
George Yoakam was the GM at the time. And, I think, you know, front page of the Marion Star, you know, Marianne Michaels, you know, marks her debut in local radio, and it was.
Well, and I think at that time it was interesting because the broadcast history, and you were there at that time, is kind of interesting because WDI, the original, which was 97.5, no, that's what it became, 94.3, because at that time 107 was the country station.
Yeah.
But Charlie was obviously the biggest name in radio at that time. WDIF doubled his salary. He left MRN to go over there. And then not too long after that, I think George... Was he there when Charlie... He was there when Charlie was there,
mm-hmm.
when Charlie departed.
Yeah.
And then not too long after that, though, George brought Madge back to do that Saturday morning show,
right.
And then brought in Mary Ann from
right.
Columbus. So when Charlie left, because he wasn't there to see what was left once he left, what was it like there when he departed?
The first time or the second time?
The first time.
The
second time you took over.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
He was gone basically about 10 years, from 1980 to 1990, and MRN went through a number of morning people, and none of them, for whatever reason, stayed very long. None of them really made that connection. And with Charlie and with Mary Ann and myself, you want to get out and do things in the community. You got to get involved, and especially in a smaller station. Well, I think that's true at a large station too. But you got to get out and you got to be involved in the community. And some of those people that we had in the mornings, they could have cared less about Marion, Ohio, and they didn't want to do this or do that, and they just kind of came in, did their thing, and went home. And for the longest time, we just did not have a real good morning person. Now, we had very good news, and we had the morning magazine program, and Tradio was very popular. and so forth. But that kind of that 6 to 9 slot just wasn't real big, because we just didn't have that name person or that key person that did a lot in the community.
Now, when Charlie came back in 89-90, it would have been, yeah, I guess, that five-year period, what was that like?
It was sort of like it was back to normal.
Yeah.
You know, it was very comfortable. I mean, Charlie had his niche, and I had my niche, and everybody kind of knew, you know, they were very comfortable.
And when somebody leaves, it's always a big deal. And when he left in 95, when you took over, people were not happy that he had left.
Oh, no, they weren't.
Yeah.
And, I mean, not so much me. I mean, I didn't get any hate mail per se, but I know the station. It's like, you know, I'll never listen to the station again, or WMRN will never be the same. And you know, I can see why a lot of people would think that.
Well, when you get used to somebody, did you get any of that? There were protests when you wanted it. The people weren't happy.
Last year?
Yeah.
But I had made it, you know, I had told probably 6 months in advance that 40 years was a good number to get out. That just sounds better than leaving after 39 years. And I had started in May of 79. So about January or February of last year, I started making it known that, you know, this, you know, I'm kind of heading down the home stretch. So I said, you know, wanted to make it 40 years. So people kind of knew in advance that I was going to be leaving. When Charlie left the first time, I mean, that was like, you know, he was on the air Friday, and Monday, you know, he was gone. So I think when I left last year, most people realized that, you know, it was my own choice and I was ready to step down. Most people didn't realize, and I didn't realize at the time, what they were going to do after I left.
Monday became a problem. After that, hey, we're no longer local.
Yeah.
We're now a national station. Well, that's the way it goes, I guess. Well, again, Jeff Ruth can be heard Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 7:05 a.m., 3:05 p.m., 10-minute interviews, taped interviews, WZMO 104.7 FM. I still got another hour today. But, Jeff, this was a lot of fun.
You kicking me out?
Do you want to stay?
I don't have anything else to do.
Stay. Jeff's going to stay for another hour here. Stay tuned. WWGH Radio.
42 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740 225